Hey everyone, before we begin today's podcast, I want to tell you about our amazing sponsor, Hooligan Fuel Hot Sauce. Honestly, one of the best sauces I've ever had. They have a wide variety of flavors and they are available for absolutely every occasion. Hell, I love them so much, we teamed up and created Tim Albertson Private Reserve Tangy Whiskey Honey Heat. There are so many options available and even more coming every day. So go check them out at www.hooligan, that's H-O-O-L-I-G-A-N, fuel.com.
Hey, what's going on? This is David Boy James.
Hey, this is Scott Owen.
Hi, this is Deborah Lynn.
We're Rosewood Avenue.
Hey, everybody, this is Cadu.
This is Haley Verrill.
This is Mary Ray Knapp, godmother of Canadian country music.
Hey, this is Nicole Ray, and you're listening to the Canadian Country Music Podcast with Tim Albertson.
What's up, everyone, and welcome to the Canadian Country Music Podcast. This is Season 2, Episode 3. I am your host, Tim Albertson, a Canadian country music artist and lover who has been infatuated with every aspect of the Canadian country music world. The ins, the outs, the moments behind the stage, the songs, the business, and of course, share our stories with our fans. First off, last night's Super Bowl halftime I thought was absolutely incredible. If you're listening on Spotify or Anchor, please comment on the podcast what your favorite part of it was. Was it Dre, Mary, was it Eminem or Kendrick or Snoop or even the special guest 50 Cent? So much to choose from. So I want to know what your favorite moment was. And of course, congrats to the Los Angeles Rams, although you're still a few rings behind the GOAT Tom Brady hashtag. My MVP. On today's podcast, we have the incredible Jessica Lavallee. So let's get started. Today's podcast, we have my incredible guest, Jessica Lavallee. Born in northern reaches of Newfoundland and Labrador, Jessica Lavallee is raised in the remote village of the lower north shore of Quebec, an area unique to the province due to its proximity to Newfoundland and Labrador and the Canada's east coast. Jessica's love for natural ear of music began when she was just 2 years old while listening to her father, also a musician, play the guitar, the fiddle, the accordion, the harmonica. Was there anything this man couldn't play? Jessica made her debut at 6 years old with her father's band playing in a local festival in Labrador close to home. Influenced by many music styles like classic country, Irish, blues, and southern rock, she blends them with her unique, powerful voice and sings stories that stay true to her roots. A graduate of the Music Industry Performance Program at the College of North Atlantic in Stephensville, Newfoundland, Jessica has twice featured on Canadian Idol and made top 10 on CMT's Karaoke Star. For the last few years, Jessica has played in local clubs and festivals around the Thousand Islands, busy writing and performing music wherever she has the opportunity. CCMA podcast listeners, please help me give a warm welcome to my guest Jessica. How are you doing today?
I am wonderful, Tim. Thanks so much for having me on.
I really
appreciate it.
My pleasure. Oh man, we've been talking a little bit before we start this thing, and like this is going to be a fun podcast. I can already tell. We got the wines flowing, we got the smoke brewing. It's going to be fantastic. So before we begin, Jess, we touched briefly into your intro about your hometown, but give us a little background. What was your home? What was it like growing up for you? And eventually, when did you get hit with that music bug?
So I'm from a little town called L'Île de Blanc-Sablon, and it's right on the tip of
Labrador.
So L'Île de Blanc-Sablon is Quebec, and it's right on the tip of Newfoundland, Labrador. And you know, I absolutely love where I'm from. It's an isolated area, and it's such a homey feel. People are so welcoming. There's such, everybody has their back home, you know. I really miss that part of not being there anymore. And I have a huge family and we're all close and just, I don't know. All my friends, and yeah, I had such a wonderful upbringing. You know, we were so just blessed with all the nature around us and the ocean and lots of seafood and and the skidoos in the wintertime and the hockey tournaments. And oh yeah, we were We had such a blast growing up as a kid. I can't ask for any more. It was
no
wonderful.
Doubt, eh? Like, I can't even, like, okay, well, I can't imagine. Other than the oceans part, like, I'll have to settle for the greatest Great Lake in the world. But, yeah, that sounds like you almost described my entire home childhood. Isolated from the rest of the world, in nature, and the beauty. People having your backs, a small town feeling of just helping thy neighbor, like, absolutely.
I really miss it now that I'm gone. You know, I really miss it. You know, I have lots of family and friends, they're all back there. And, you know, since COVID's come in, I haven't been able to get home. So that's been hard, I gotta say.
My roots are so deep into this place, it's gonna take a whirlwind to make me move. Yeah. So I can understand that 100%.
It's such a special place.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
So you started singing when you were 6 years old with your father's band, but was that when the music bug first hit, or was that like you watched your dad sit there and all of a sudden the creative juices just started flowing for you?
So he's been a musician since I was born pretty much, and way before that as well. So I've always had music around me. Mm-hmm. And I remember just like waking up at 3-4 o'clock in the morning, hearing dad play the guitar on the couch, you know? So he's always been, you know, a musician at heart for sure. And his band Borderline. And I used to love listening to them. They used to practice it in the shed, you know, and I used to hear that going to bed sometimes on the weekends, you know? Mm-hmm. And then eventually, when I was 6 years old, I did get on stage with them for the first time. And I sang, "There's a Tear in My Beer."
Yes.
And "Ashes of Love," right?
That's perfect.
I remember that night like it was yesterday. I was on a table, I had a cowboy hat on, and I was just going right at it, right? And I loved every second of it. And honestly, that's literally when I couldn't get enough of it after that.
Really?
I had to do music. Yeah.
And how did your father feel towards that? Was he like you full gung ho in support of you? Or did he like, "Listen, lady, you've seen what I've had to struggle with. Like, what the hell do you think you're doing?"
Honestly, dad has been so supportive throughout my whole career. He's been there through everything. When it was low and high, he's been there through everything.
Yeah. That's amazing.
And he's one of my biggest mentors, somebody I'll always look up to and always trust his, you know, his everything.
Anything that dad says.
Every time I create something, I send it to dad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What do you think it is?
100%. I remember that so much. Well, so are there any musicians who you are inspired by, Jess? And what kind of qualities do you admire about them?
Well, obviously dad, that would be my major influence out of anybody. I mean, I have so many influences. Dad is a wonderful musician, singer, songwriter, right? Mm-hmm. And so, but there's also been people like Marty Stewart, you know, like, yeah.
Yes.
Marty Stewart, and then there's Ricky Skaggs, and Patti Loveless,
yeah,
and Dolly Parton, and Loretta Lynn, Tanya Tucker, and Merle Haggard, the list goes on, but that's kind of my style, right?
That's amazing. And
I've also been listening to a lot of Blackberry Smoke lately.
Mm-hmm.
And they got me caught. They just got me caught. And then I've also been listening to Brent Cobb.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah. He's amazing. You know,
incredible, and, right?
Yeah, and Jason Isbell. So I've been really into researching the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. I've definitely been researching a lot of singer-songwriters, and I've been going back through all the history of country, and certainly love to listen to, like, I listen to some of the interviews. I research so much right now. I just love every second of learning things about musicians and singers and writers. And so, yeah.
That is perfect. Now, you're no stranger to the spotlight, having been featured twice on Canadian Idol, as well as CMT Karaoke Star. Like, what was your goal when you were competing in these competitions?
So I don't know if I really had a goal. I just said, there's an opportunity, and I'm just going to take it, right? Mm-hmm. At the time, I think I just wanted to do whatever came along. And I think Canadian Idol, especially, like, at the time, it was so new, right?
Yeah.
And it came to Newfoundland, and I said, oh boy, I'm going to go, right? So I did try, and I made it. And I made it twice, and they flew me to Toronto. And at the time, I mean, I'd never really traveled very much, you know, outside mm-hmm. of where, you know, where I was and around Newfoundland. And so I didn't really travel a whole lot. So that was quite exciting too, just that to get out.
Amazing.
Yeah, yeah. I must say, I had a ton of fun, and I met so many people. And just the experience alone, like, just it was very eye-opening, you know, because even though I was told no, honestly, the no's and no's and no's is probably more important than the yeses,
mm-hmm.
you know, because you learn from that.
Yeah.
You take away from that. I was like, what can I do to learn, to improve on this and that? And, you know, and I just, I took away the experience of it all. Mm-hmm. And I just took the positive stuff. There was nothing negative, really.
No.
And so I really enjoyed every moment of it.
That's amazing. Can you take us through the process of, like, the auditioning and what it was like for you? So, like, what song did you audition with? For both times, actually, if you can remember.
I'm on spot there now. I'm getting old. I'm getting old, Tim. I forget stuff.
If you don't even look a day over 30, lady. Come on now.
Well, I'm closer to 40 than you think.
Well, I'm just letting you know that the Snapchat filter that I have on my phone right now makes me look a lot younger, too.
We're only as old as we think we are, right?
Or I'm only as old as I act. If I act like a six-year-old, I'm always going to be a six-year-old.
Yes.
And you can attest to the girlfriend. She will let you know that I act exactly like a six-year-old. My son has more maturity than I do.
That's funny.
So take that.
Oh, dear. We got to do what keeps us young.
Right?
So what was the question? Oh, my God. Yeah.
Yes. When we were going through the process of auditioning, what was it like for you? Or even if you can't remember the song of the auditioning, that's perfectly fine. But, like, when they told you the yes, like, what was the next step? Was it, like, how many days do you have where you're sitting at home knowing that you're going to go to Toronto? Or was it like a week later, of a sudden you're getting hoisted?
Well, that's the thing, right? I was in school in Stephenville, Newfoundland, and I went through the process and they accepted. They gave me the gold ticket. But the thing was that but I couldn't tell anybody, right?
Yeah,
so you weren't allowed to say anything.
That's probably a good reason why I don't go into competitions like that, because I would lose by default. I won. And thank you. We're taking that back. And thank you. Have a great day. My bad.
I told my teacher. He was the only one that knew, because I had to tell him, right?
Oh.
I absolutely loved the program. And I really enjoyed every second of it.
Really?
Anything that has to do with music, I do. Yes.
What was your biggest take home that you took from the experience?
To be honest, it was just, as much as you, like, hear the notes, just keep continuing on, no matter what. And I don't get down over things like that. It just passes through.
Mm-hmm.
And I just take in everything that I see, and I work on it. And then I just go home and I think about what happened. And then I come back somewhat stronger. And then, you know, with experience and life experience and through maturity and getting older,
mm-hmm.
that all eventually comes together. You don't realize that stuff that goes on in your life beforehand makes it so much more worth anything that you ever went through that was like, oh, well, you thought it was a hard time at the time.
Yeah.
But it always makes you.
In hindsight, it was actually not that bad. Yeah. No, I take it all as constructive criticism. You have to. If you take
every, and I'm really good at taking constructive criticism.
I've taken that my entire life.
Yes, yes. You know, every time, you know, I get any kind of criticism through my music, I take it and I sit back and I analyze it. Mm-hmm. And I figure, okay, well, what was this person saying? And how do I introduce that within how I can use it?
How did you get that mindset? Where did that, like, that's not something that you're taught. That's something that you obviously had to kind of come into fruition by yourself. Or was that like your father helping you with that? Like,
I don't know. I'm genuinely really just, I think good about things. You know, I always make sure that I, you know, I think positively, you know. And I think that has a lot to do with my upbringing, to be honest, with my family and where I come from, and dad, of course, and mom and my sister, yeah. You know, so it's just who I am. I think it's just like, it's just there, mm-hmm. You know, and I think that just, you know, coming from a small town, and you just appreciate a lot of things. Like I've always appreciated the little things in life.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't take things for granted. Really no.
And it's people like, I know there's artists from Toronto and everything, and I'm not bashing and I'm not throwing them down or anything, but when you come from a small town and certain things like what happened in our music industry, like even the concept of being like number one on a fan voted platform. Like for me, being in a number one category or being nominated by your peers or anything, like I grew up in a town of 250 people. So my totem pole was very, very small from the very beginning. I knew, be true to your friends, be true to your family and all that kind of stuff. As I started growing up, all of a sudden it's like, wow, I've come a hell of a long way from the small town. And you gain that gratitude and that love for just the ability to do it, because you know where you came from is and where you're going. You've already climbed so many damn hills to do it. So for me, like when I come from a small town, that's the first thing I think of is like, wow, like I know back home, the people in my small town, those 250 people are sitting there going, man, I can't wait to see what Tim does next. I can't wait to see what this happens. I can't wait to see where he goes with this and this and this and this. That's my biggest fan base, is my hometown. So like to have, and to be that tight knit together with all of us, like it's literally like 250 family members and they will go to war with me. So I absolutely love my hometown. So I totally get the whole concept of like small upbringing.
Yes.
Yeah. That's beautiful.
And they've supported me from the beginning. Mm-hmm. You know, I appreciate every single one, you know, it's just, they've been on this ride with me and I feel it, you know, I really feel the support, mm-hmm. and that's really important. And to me, it really is, you know.
It means the world, right?
It sure does. Yeah.
Yeah. Alrighty, madam. So here we are. Your single just released Friday on all major streaming platforms. So congratulations for that.
Mercy.
But can we strip down Small Town Girl here? I want to start from the very beginning. So where did this song first originate?
So the song came from, we went home, me and my husband and my kids, we went home for a visit. And you know, every time I go home, it was a few years back. I don't know if it was 3-4 years ago. But anyway, it was before COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And we went home and, you know, at this particular time, I felt even more sad leaving. I was just so sad to leave home. My youngsters just loved every second of it. My husband loved it. Mm-hmm. And there was this thing that came over me, especially that time. I came home, I was so sad here, like I came home to Ontario and I just, it was just, anyway, but I came up with this song and it was an idea about, you know, leaving home after you've been there. And every time I go home, I never want to leave, you know, even though I know I have to leave and I have a life somewhere else now. But home was always going to be home, you know? So it's just, I had to let it out. So I started writing, you know, and so it was just one of those things where I was like, okay, how can I come up with an idea of, like, you know, going home every summer and then leaving and then looking forward to coming back the next summer? Because we usually go back home every year or every second year, you know, depending what's going on. So anyway, I came up with a few things, and then my father came up to visit not long after that. So him and I pretty much, we did some of the other stuff in there in song, and then we took that and we were like, okay, well, maybe we'll send it to Carmen and Bennett, the co-writer that I work with in the States. And I said, we'll give it to her. We'll see what she can do with it. So I went through, like, me with this idea, and then me and Dad, Terry LaValle is his name, and then I just said, okay, I want to introduce this song to Carmen because I know she'll understand what I want to say, you know. Perfect, and yeah. So then she, you know, so we all did it together, and Small Town Girl is what came out. yeah, I am so proud of the song. First and foremost, because it's it really truly it describes who I am, and I don't really want to, you know, I stay true to myself and to who I am, my roots, and that's what I want to portray as an artist. And and also it says the name of my town in there, so of course.
Well, of course you got to rep them.
So it's if anyone notices, it's called Blanc Blanc, right? So that's how I pronounce it, Blanc Blanc. So it's in the beginning of the tune. So
it did. I tried to pronounce it and I failed horribly. So I left it to the professionals, aka you.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, dear. You got to go home and spend a little bit of time home, get the accent on the go.
Oh, no doubt. I would love that. See, I have that addictive personality. So, like, if I'm sitting there and I'm listening and I'm talking with a whole group, there's no doubt the tongue would start to roll and I would start picking up the slang and the lingo. And I used to work with a bunch of Australians at a ski hill. By the end of the year, there wasn't a single person there that knew that I was Canadian. It was hilarious. Canadians are coming up to me buying me drinks because they all thought I was Aussie, and it was fantastic. The only
Were you doing that on purpose to get some drinks?
Trying. Yeah, I was trying. I wanted to see if I could pull it off, because, like, all the regular Australians are standing right beside me and they're like, there's no way he's gonna pull this off. I'm like, oh, good night, mate. What's he doing? How'd she go? You guys ready to go, Timmy? Let's do it. I just throw them on down and there we go, and people at the bottom of the hill are like, that Aussie's awesome. I'm like, I'm the only full-time Canadian that works here, but that's okay. The only people that were pissed were the actual Australians, because nobody was buying them drinks. But yeah, so yeah, when I come down there, yes, 100%. There will be a good chance that you can catch me on a video doing something ridiculously stupid.
You gotta come visit. Like, it's such a wonderful spot. Oh my God. Yeah, it's a beautiful spot.
There is so much over on the East Coast that I would love to go check out.
Honestly, I'm so proud of my. Oh, I love it.
It doesn't get as much credit as it really needs. Like, I don't get why BC always has to be that pretty one on the ocean. No. Nova Scotia, Newfoundland, like Labrador, why? Like, that's gorgeous to me.
I always think it's beautiful, no matter what.
So after writing the song, Jess, how long before the song started to take shape?
The melody, when I came up with the song, the melody was already there.
Okay.
Typically, that's how I write anyway. I I get inspired by a melody. Mm-hmm. And then I go searching for words, right? So if I can't find words, I'll reach out to somebody else that can try and find for me. Mm-hmm.
Fair enough. That makes a lot of sense. I like that aspect.
Yeah. You know, sometimes I want to express things, but I can't get it. I can't get it the way I want. And I sometimes just need a little extra, you know, like boost.
Yeah.
From somebody that I know would understand what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. That's why I love co-writing. I absolutely love co-writing.
Best, isn't it?
Yeah. I love it. You know, there's just something magical that comes out between, you know, whoever's writing whatever, but there's always something that's you don't think of, you know, and then you share ideas and it's like, oh, of course, why didn't I think of that?
But, yeah, you know, or Jesus, I would have never thought of that. That's usually how it ends up.
Exactly.
Mine's just so, like, wow, how did you come up with that idea? Exactly. You're really good at this. I want to be your friend. So with this song, you had a new experience with this, however, because of COVID, you unfortunately had to record this song remotely. Yes. So how was that experience for you, having not being able to actually be in that studio and having to do it like remotely without your producer in the room?
Yeah, no, that was certainly different, because I know how the first experience was, because I went to Kent Wells production in Nashville about 6 years ago.
Woo-hoo, shout out Kent Wells.
Yes. Oh, yes. He's an awesome. Oh, he's wicked. Anyway,
just for the people who are listening right now, Jess, Kent Wells Productions, there's a very, very big star in country music that I feel works with this person by chance. Maybe one of your influences by chance?
That's right. Her name's Dolly Parton.
There she is.
Yes. Yes. Oh, and what a sweet woman she is. I got to meet her too a couple years ago.
Oh, no, you didn't.
I did. Through Kent. Yeah. It was just one of those things where I was down at the CCMAs in London. I think it was 2016. And Dolly Parton was playing in Toronto that weekend. Anyway, I was at the conference and I took off after one of the, I can't remember what it was, that Friday night or something. And I just drove to Toronto and I got to go backstage and meet her and, you know, talk to the bandmates and it was so wonderful. Yeah, I had such a wonderful experience. I can't thank Kent enough for that. He's an angel.
That's incredible.
So is she. She is. She's like somebody you've known all your life. Like when you talk to her, she's just like somebody you like my aunt. Like seriously, she was
Aunt Dolly. Like
somebody, yes. Like, oh my gosh. She was just so welcoming. Yeah. I what a wonderful time. Yeah.
Oh, I hope I get the opportunity one day. I'm slightly envious of you right now. A little bit pissed.
You don't need to be envious. Jeez.
Yes. First one. So for your release strategy, Jess, have you hired a tracker for your radio and streaming on this at all?
So I got a little notes here on the go because I'm new to this, like Tim.
Hey, you know, I'm still brand spanking new to this. I just figured out what a tracker was like last year, so.
Yeah, like so it the business side of music has always been a little tougher for me to, you know,
wrap your head around. Yep.
Yeah. But I am getting a lot of help this time. I'm doing it. I've done my homework, let's just say somewhat, before I've started to put out the single, and you know, and I've had a lot of help with Hendrick.
Yes.
Yes.
Hendrick Payne.
Grace.
Woo-hoo. Mr. Soundcheck Entertainment himself.
Yes, exactly. But right now I'm working with Hendrick at Soundcheck Entertainment to promote sound. So we'll be sending it out to Canadian radio via Play MPE. Perfect. Major focus will be streaming side things, right? So we'll be streaming it mostly.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he's also working on putting the EP from 6 years ago that I went that I had. He's going to try and get that on there too. So yeah,
wicked.
Yeah,
that is
so when you go to stream My Small Town Girl, well then you can go look up the other three songs that I recorded down there. So that'll be exciting.
Wait for that. Was there a change in your musical style between your old EP and this one?
No, not really. I'm pretty old fashioned.
I wouldn't say old fashioned.
Well, I just that's the style. Like I do stay kind of more rootsy, you know.
I will say roots, and I love it. Absolutely love it. There is a lot of pop out there right now. And like, then a gentleman by the name of Chris Stapleton shows up on the scene. And all of a sudden, roots hits home again. And for the longest time, like, I grew up with Hank, and I grew up with Willie, and I grew up with the Highwaymen and Merle. Like, my dad used to have the 8-track takes in his 18-wheeler. It was fantastic. So to hear when I clicked onto the song, because Hendrick sent it to me, because I'm one of those special people, I got to hear it first.
Oh, you got to hear it, did you?
I did. Absolutely, absolutely love the track. And it's because I love the roots to it. And your voice sounds so goddamn good in it. Oh, it's fantastic. It's going to be a good song. And with Hendrick and Soundcheck behind you, I have no doubt in my mind that Sirius will be hearing from this song very shortly.
Oh, he's amazing. I keep bogging him. Jeez, I'm calling him every 2 seconds.
Oh yeah, I do the exact same thing. I don't even have a single ready to go until the end of March, and literally I'll be like, "Hey Hendrick, hey Hendrick, hey Hendrick, hey Hendrick, hey Hendrick, hey Hendrick." He's like, "Dude, I work for a living." Like, yeah, I don't. Hey Hendrick, hey Hendrick, hey Hendrick.
It's like, oh yeah, I swear to God, like, Tim, I'm exactly the same way.
I know, I'm starting to realize, Justin,
Tim, but I feel comfortable, so that's why I think it's because we feel comfortable.
Now, with this song coming out, I'm curious, what to you would make it a success in your eyes? Is there a particular number you want to hit with streaming, or is it just the concept out into major platforms? Is it just the ability to have it out in the world and let people see it, or?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty much the, you know, I will, first and foremost, I don't really understand any of that. So, I mean, I suppose I'll have to learn about that. But I don't, you know, like that stuff, the numbers don't matter to me at all. You know, I mean, if you were to ask me, like, what would be the thing I would ever want to do in my career that I would strive for would be probably to perform on Grand Ole Opry. That would be something I would strive for, you know, but numbers, honestly,
no.
I don't know if that's big on my priority list.
Well, I still think that the numbers are going to soar once people start listening.
You know what? If it happens, honestly, I'll be so happy. But if it reaches people, if it reaches just one, and they understand and it helps them or it makes them happy, I've done my job already.
Well, the story of the song really, really does hit home, especially for me being a small town boy. This song really resonated well with me. So bravo on this, and Terry and your other writers. Yeah, this is a fantastic single. You're not just sitting here writing amazing tunes, but with restrictions slowly easing back up, you have a select amount of shows beginning to pop up on your website. And one that caught my eye was at Happy Green Acres in June. So it's an absolutely amazing venue. I've had the privilege with Hendrick and Soundcheck for their 10-year anniversary there. So Henry, you have an absolutely incredible venue.
You know, yeah.
So for people who will, for the first time, be seeing you live on stage this year, what can they expect from a live performance from Jess?
What I could say is it's energy. I like to smile a lot.
That's a good quality.
And I tend to bring people back to when they were in their living rooms, probably listening to a tape recorder, and, you know, or at a kitchen party or something like that. I tend to bring people back to those memories.
I love that.
And that's my, it's not that I try to do that, but that's just, that's my style. So I like to, you know, have that kind of, I guess, I don't even know what I'm trying to say, but anyway, that's kind of what I.
That nostalgic energy is going to be fantastic.
Nostalgic. That's the word I was looking for. Yes. You just put it right in my, yeah, that's Ta-da. Exactly what.
That's what I'm here for.
Thank you.
No problem. Nostalgic would be fantastic. There's a few songs that come to my head when I'm thinking about like my childhood, and literally these two songs will come on the radio and instantly I'm sitting on my living room floor with my working TV sitting on top of my non-working TV stand, and literally it's Copperhead Road and Summer of 69.
Oh wow, yeah, great tunes.
All of a sudden, for some strange reason, I can close my eyes and it's like bam, I'm just back when I'm like 6 years old. And I'm like, how can this song make me feel that way? So yeah.
Isn't it crazy that a song can do that to you? It just brings you back to that absolute like moment where you probably just heard of it.
Like innocence. That time of innocence when you're just sitting there and it was just like a whole other world for you.
The Coat of Many Colors does that to me.
See,
it's such a story, like it resonates through the simplest things. That simple little song and such a wonderful like story touched so many hearts, and that's just every time I hear it, it almost brings me to tears.
it's a fantastic, right? Oh, so Jess, what advice would you have for someone who's wanting to follow in your footsteps?
Oh my, you know, I've always thought of like, now that I have youngsters, so I've always thought of that, like, what would they, if they ever were to ask me, mommy, you know, well, I always would think that I would say, don't ever give up on your dreams.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how hard it gets, no matter how many people tell you, no, that's just for fun. Don't worry, you're not going to make it. I can't do that. Go get a real job. Don't listen to none of that. Listen to your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to your soul. And follow your road, wherever that leads you. And it's probably going to be pretty rocky sometimes, but I'm telling you, it's going to be a real nice end.
Oh, man,
if you continue and you work hard at what you want in your life, you're going to achieve it.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to achieve it.
What was it? David Boy James once told me it was hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And I swear by that, and I've never given up my dreams, so.
And nor should
I'm here, and I'm doing what I love.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
And nor should you, because damn girl, you got this.
Oh dear.
I'm telling you, the East Coast better wake up. We've got one hell of a fucking hurricane about to hit. All right, Jess, so now that we've got your single out, what's next for you?
Well, when I did recording, we did three songs at the time. So there's going to be another single coming up later on.
Ooh.
And then there's going to be another one. And then hopefully by then, I'll be recording again. And we'll continue on the cycle, hopefully.
Awesome. Are you planning to stick with Kent?
Oh yeah.
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 That's awesome.
So right now we're just gonna promote the three songs and stuff like that. But then, oh yeah, yeah. I'm anxious to see what has in store. I've got some really wicked songs that I've written in the last 2 years, that obviously I'm going to be biased, right? So, but you know, I'm really excited to record a couple of the ones that I, yeah, it's going to be fun.
I'm pumped for you. Oh man. Can we get a little sneak peek on what, like, maybe one of the other songs that is coming out's about?
What it's about?
Yeah. Or okay. Maybe.
Yes.
Okay, so like one of the songs on the three EP, so we've got Small Town Girl. Mm-hmm. Could you give us a little like tidbit on what one of the other songs might sound like, or what's the energy behind it?
The energy. Well, this one's gonna be a little slower. So slower.
I like it.
Yes, and this third one, it's gonna be rocking.
Yes. I can't wait. I cannot wait.
It's going to be a wicked summer tune. Let's just say that. And but yeah, I'm really excited for the slow song too. So I cannot wait for people to hear that one. So yeah, I can't wait for any of the songs to be heard. Well,
if it's anything like Small Town Girl, they're going to be fantastic as always. So.
Oh, thank you.
So just for new fans of yours today who are just hearing from you for the first time, where can they find your social medias at?
So if you just go on Google and you type in jessicalavalle.com, you'll be going on my website and all the links are there.
It is a beautiful website, by the way. Bravo on that.
Thank you so much.
It looks very well done.
Thank you so much.
I love the hat. I like the mystery of the cover art, by the way. Like with the hat, with the eyes just covered up. Like, I like that. It was a good mysterious look to it. I loved it.
You know, that's the thought I had too when I first seen the photo. I was like, oh, like, and I know it's myself, but like, I was like, who's that? Like, what's she? Who is she?
I'm not gonna lie. At first, I was like, is that Shania Twain?
Oh dear.
There was a second where I took a quick look and I'm like, did Shania Twain come out with something? And then I was like, oh, this is Hendrick. Oh, this is Jeff. What? Okay. All right. I'm in.
My good friend Isabel took my photo. She did the photo shoot. So we had a fun time. Oh my, what a blast we had that day.
Jessica, thank you so much for coming on to this podcast. I absolutely love connecting with new friends and fellow artists. Like I've said previously in this podcast multiple times, this song is amazing. I love your sound. It takes me back home, and myself being a small town boy, you crushed this song. So thank you so much for coming on today and introducing yourself to the Canadian country music world. And I wish you nothing but a shit ton of success on this single and so many more to come. Well, there you have it, everyone. My amazing interview with Jessica. You can reach her on all her social media platforms by going to jessicalavalle.com. That's JessicaLavalle.com. My name is Tim Albertson. You can check out my music at www.timalbertsonmusic.ca. Plus, there's going to be a new song coming out very shortly, so you're going to want to take a peek at that. Also, make sure to follow us on Facebook by searching the Canadian Country Music Podcast, or follow and subscribe to our YouTube page where you can check out the video of the interview as well as YouTube exclusive questions not found on our podcast. Also, watch for the premiere of our videos because we also bring in the artists into our live chat room just for you guys. Just search the Canadian Country Music Podcast on YouTube, hit that subscribe button, and follow us up. If you are an artist and you have some insight you want to share about your experience, please email us at theccmcast@gmail.com. Until next time, everyone, remember that love is always free, and I will see you all next time on the Canadian Country Music Podcast.